Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched the lives of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Amen. Hello. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please forgive me for what's going on with the lines. I do not know, but I just want to thank you for calling It's All About You radio show. Well, you have myself, Tiffany Thompson, Dennis Weston, and we are live each time that we're on every Wednesday night from 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And for whatever reason, every time it rains, there's a problem. But we come against that in Jesus' name. We come against that. I thank you all. I thank you all for your wait. I thank you for your patience, even now. Again, I just want to thank you for calling in and logging on to It's All About You radio show. I thank you all for your patience. Amen. Tonight Amen. We have a hot show. We have a hot show as usual. I thank you all. We haven't been on for about a couple weeks, but we've been playing really great shows. We've been playing some really great shows in the last couple of weeks. So I thank you all. And I just want to thank all the listeners even for being with us as we went through our process a teaching on prayer, the different types of prayers, and I believe that was a great teaching. We did a four-week lesson on that, and so I just thank God for that. I really, really do. And I bless God for you. I bless God for your patience. I bless God for all that he's doing tonight, and I believe there's a word of the Lord, a word that the Lord that wants to give on tonight to someone and for someone. Every time we come on, I'm sorry, we have to go through, we have to do a little warfare, but it's all good because God breaks us through each time, each and every time. So I'm grateful for you all. And I thank God for Dennis Weston and his absence, but yet he's still with us spiritually. I thank God for him, the opportunity to partner with him. I bless God for him, and I thank God for you all. So before we start the show, as usual, we always start off in prayer. We always want to give Amen. God what's due to him, and that's to reverence him, to acknowledge him in all that we do and in all that what he's about to do on tonight. So before I get started, I just want to say a prayer, and I just need you to just stand in agreement with me as we pray the word of the Lord, the will of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the fire of the Lord to come down and rain on us tonight. Even as it's raining in the city Amen. Of Chicago, we look at that as a representation of what God is Amen. Doing in our lives. Amen. 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 So I thank God for you all. Amen. Glory be to God. So
So we're just going to go forth in prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight, Lord. Father, we acknowledge you. You said to acknowledge thee in all our ways, and you will direct our path. And so, God, we just want to thank you for direction on tonight, God. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you have your way on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, God, that someone is blessed, someone is encouraged, someone is built up on tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, have your way, God. Father, we give this show unto you, and we give ourselves unto you. We lay ourselves, Father, as living sacrifice, Father, holy and acceptable unto you, Father, in the name of Jesus, which is our reasonable service, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we say bless every ear gate, everyone that's listening by phone, by internet, Father. Father, do a new thing in them tonight. Do a new thing even in us tonight, Father. Father, we just say have your way, God. We're willing vessels, God. Father, yielding ourselves, Father, to the leading, Father, of you, God. And so, God, we thank you, God, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. So, God, Father, we pray for tonight. We pray for new revelation, Father. We pray for a fresh anointing, God. We pray, God, that your fire fall, God, and burn up and annihilate everything that's not like you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Anything and everything that's trying to consume your people, God. Father, we thank you, God, that you are that consuming fire, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And, Father, we thank you, Father, God, for breakthrough, for revelation on tonight, Father. We thank you for the word on tonight, God. We thank you, God, that you are the living word, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you, and we praise you. We know that it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so God, so on tonight, I have a special guest with me, and her name is Prophetess Tina Barnett, and I thank God for her. She's all the way from Indiana, and she's coming along with me on tonight to bless you all. That's our job, is to just to serve, and we're coming on tonight, and she's coming as a guest to help serve and bless the people of God. So I just want to introduce her. Some you might know her, some you may not, but this will be the night that you get to know her and connect with her. So I thank God for Miss Tina Barnett. Are you on? Amen, Tina. Let me see if she's on. Hold on. Okay. Hello? Hello, Tina?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I forgot to press the one key, but I'm here.
Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for you. I thank God
bless
for God
you.
For I welcome you. Amen. I welcome you to the show on tonight. I thank you for accepting the invitation to all, It's All About You radio show, where we serve the people, where it's all about the kingdom, and it's all about the people. And so I thank you for submitting yourself, yielding yourself to the will of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if you don't mind taking a moment, a couple of minutes, just to tell everybody who you are, where you're from, how good God has been to you. Just a nice introduction. That'll be great, I think so.
Amen. Well, God bless you all on the Blog Talk Radio today. I thank God for Prophetess Tiffany and for how God connected us and caused us to meet. I bless each and every one of you listeners out there today. I am Prophetess Tina Barnett, all the way from Gary, Indiana. I am an author of a book, amen, glory to God, a pastor for 9 years, amen. And right now God just has me in the field evangelizing, ready to bless his people. And I just thank God for what he's doing in this hour and where he's about to take us and where he's about to even shift us, even in the kingdom. So on tonight, I just want you, you know, all to just open yourselves up and hear what God is saying to us, the church, on tonight as Prophetess Tiffany and I come forth to bless you on tonight and serve, as she said. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And just in case, so that we won't get a little before we get fired up in the Lord, how can they connect with you? How can they get your book? How can they do any of that?
The title of my book is called Broken, Battered, and Abused, but Jesus, the Holy One, Heal Me. They can go on exuberus.com or barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com and get the book. They can also reach me at prophetessbarnett@yahoo.com, or I'm on Facebook. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited tonight. I really am. I've been excited all day. I don't know about you all, but I've been excited just believing God to really just have his way on tonight. And so what I wanted to share, I just wanted to share before we go a little further, I just wanted to share a scripture. And if you all go with us to the book of John.
Yeah.
We always want to share the word of God, you know, as we go forth. Because where we are, we're talking about the word. He is the word, and we know that. And so we just want to share the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I want to start we'll start at verse 1, 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Amen. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Third verse. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. And so if I was to give this a title, I will talk about the manifestation of the power of God, and that your process is not a punishment. Amen. That your process is not a punishment. God is not punishing you. And so as we look at this, it talks about how it says Jesus was passing by. And then it talks about how he saw a man which was blind from birth. Then it talks about apparently he was with the disciples as they were passing by, and the disciples saw it, they noticed it, and disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, as I looked at this, I'm like, okay, how they begin to immediately think that this man had sinned just because he was blind, just because he couldn't see out of his natural eyes. They automatically thought he was in sin. And then they asked who sinned, him or his parents, because, you know, in the Old Testament, if you were punished, and they felt like any punishment was because of sin. You had to be dealt with, you know, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, of the appearance of Jesus. If you sinned, you were stoned. You know, something would have to happen. You would have to pay for that sin. So he asked, who sinned? Did he sin or his parents? But I looked at this, I said, he wasn't even born yet. He wasn't even born yet. And yet, how could he have sinned? You know, and then they said, well, who? His parents. So they could be discussing or thinking of maybe, you know, they sinned while he was in the womb. And this is the punishment that was that he had to take on because of his parents' sin. But then Jesus responded to them. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me which he was acknowledging, of course, God the Father, Daddy God, Jehovah Jireh. He was acknowledging him. He said, I must work the work for him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Okay, I skipped to number four. I'm sorry. Let me go back to number three. He said, neither did he see nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So I'm going to read a little further so we can see what happened as God began to work the work. Verse 5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus talks about himself. He said, and so then it says, verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay out of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Verse 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means in interpretation, he sent him. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they of that which was before him that seen him, that knew him, they knew he was blind, they said, is not this he that sat in bed? Verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, how were thy eyes open? Verse 11, he said, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. Then he said unto them, where is he? He said, I know not. Okay, I could go on and on with this chapter because this entire chapter is just the revelation of who God is and what God had done for this blind man, what he had done for this man that was born blind. But he said, I must work the works in him while it is day for night coming when no man could work. He just started, he was speaking on the, you know, what was what was coming up on the earth? What was to come? It wasn't now, but he was like talking about what was to come. But he also talked about the manifestation of the power of God. This man was blind only for that purpose. He was born blind for only that purpose. We know who Jesus is. He's Jesus. He's Lord. He's God the Father. He's the three in one: God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he already knew this man. But he was born for the purpose that he may show his power through him. He had the disciples with him, and he had to show them. He had to manifest them. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to demonstrate the power of God through the works of God, through the ability of God. God give us grace, his ability, his grace, his mercy. And Jesus said that the power, that the works of God should be made manifest through him. And so given this saying, your process is not a punishment, he ain't seen. And sometimes we think that because people are going through, they may be going through something. They may, you know, must be maybe up against some things. And the first thing we do is judge and say, this person's seen. God's punishing them. But the word that God gave me was, your process is not a punishment. This is a process that I believe that this man of God had to go through. It didn't say how long. I believe he was older, because people, the people that walked past and knew him, he said he sat and begged. He said they know him as being blind. They know him as the one that was begging. And they knew that he was one that had not, you know, that was not able to see all these years. And then here comes Jesus. The man, it doesn't say that the man asked. It didn't say that the man asked for sight. It didn't say he asked for sight. It didn't say any of that. It's just Jesus automatically just went to him and decided to demonstrate and manifest the power of God through him. And I believe that's the time that we're in. It's some people, some situations, some places, and some things that people are in and going through, and that they believe, I'm in this because of sin. I'm in this because I've done this to myself. I'm in this. But I believe God knew which way we were going to go before we went that way. The Bible says he knows the way that we take, and when he has tried us, we shall come out as pure gold. So he knows us. He knows everything about us. The Bible says he foreknew us. Before we were even in our mother's womb, he's already known us. Amen. And so when he just gave me, tell the people that their process is not a punishment, but I just want to manifest the power and the works of God through them. So whatever you're going through, whoever's going through, I say this, don't judge anyone else's process, because God can bring them out at any second and any minute. But I believe that there's a season and there's a time. I mean, there's a time. I was going through for many years, and it felt like I'd never get delivered. It felt like I was just going to die that way. But then there was a time that the Holy Spirit came, and he visited me. And that was the time that he unblinded my blinded eyes, my spiritual eyes. I was blinded. Amen. You still with me, Tina? Amen.
I'm still here.
Thank God that there's a time. There's a time and a season. Sometimes we can judge people's situations. We can judge people's process. And we don't understand. What I don't understand, I've learned. I had to mature and learn to pray for what I don't understand. And then sometimes, if we're not careful, and we judge someone else's process, we'll end up in our process even longer until we understand that everything we can't put our mouth on, everything that we cannot judge, especially that we don't understand. Because here it is, this man was born blind, and they turned around and asked, who did he sin? Who sinned, him or his parents, when he was born this way? So it was something that came upon him that he had no power over. So it's things that come upon us that sometimes we just don't have the power over. But God sees it. God knows it. He knows the time of the day. He knows when we're going to enter into it, and he knows when we're going to get delivered and enter out of it. Amen.
Amen.
So go right ahead, Prophetess Tina.
Well, bless God, I was just enjoying it, the word, because, amen, you were right on target, and I definitely know that we are definitely on one accord. And, you know, sometimes I often tell people everything that somebody going through ain't the devil. Amen. Some things God is, he's processing us through, glory to God, because we need that process, amen, in order to get to the promise. Amen. And so sometimes God has to break us down, to rebuild us back up, amen, because sometimes our own perception of things or how we view things, amen, could be dangerous to our destiny, amen, and sometimes we need character and integrity and different things, different spiritual ingredients that we are missing to become that person that God would have us to become, amen, glory to God, because really all God wants to see in us is a reflection of himself. Amen. And so sometimes God allows us to go through different things is not to hurt us, but to help us and to grow us. Amen. Glory to God. And so we often look like this man looking. God wants us to stop looking at the pain and look at him. Amen. The healer of the pain. Absolutely. Because oftentimes, like you said, people looking at who sinned or who did something wrong, but Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, but he was thrown in a pit, he was persecuted, he was conspired against, amen, glory to God, he was beat up, he was wrongfully accused, he was going through all of these things, and didn't have anything to do, glory to God, with him sinning. It's just that he was going through a process, God was trying to cause him to be the man, glory to God, fit for the palace, because there were some things missing in him that he needed, amen, added to become, glory to God, second in command for the palace. We have to be ripened for the position. And so we have to bear the right and proper fruit, kingdom fruit, in order to stand in these positions. And so we don't take what God has given us lightly, but that we actually, glory to God, we thank God and reverence him for what he is doing in this hour for our lives and in our lives. And I heard God said to me earlier today, Prophet Tim, he said, God is saying he's calling us out of our dry places, those expired seasons and places in life. And God wants us, glory to God, to step into the new wine. Amen, glory to God, because there's some things that have been stale. There's some things that have been laying dormant in the peoples of God. But this is the hour where I'm seeing God as God is going to raise his people up. Just like he restored this man's eyesight, God is getting ready to bring, glory to God, restoration to his people. And I heard the scripture say, I will restore to you the years of the cankerworm, the palmworm, the chewing locust. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. All of those locusts have eaten up, even the grasshopper, glory to God, have eaten up. God is getting ready to bring restoration to his people. And so, glory to God, though we may have even been blinded in some areas, God is getting ready to move the scales from our eyes that we can see and rise up, glory to God, in him. In him, glory to God, that he may be glorified and that we may show his glory here on earth. Because Christ just came, glory to God, to show us kingdom business and how to conduct kingdom business. That's all he was really trying to show the disciples. And so the disciples were confused. Who's sin? See, they were looking at the situation instead of looking at Jesus. Who was the fixer of the situation. They wasn't looking at him and his glory and who God had sent. They were just looking at natural circumstances, not realizing, glory to God, that resurrection power was already alive on earth with them. Yes.
Yeah,
and so we got to understand that God, he already knows our ending before our beginning. He knows how it's going to end even before it begins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we just have to trust God and not God is he's not wanting us, amen, in this time, in this hour to be looking. He's not looking for people who's looking for cars and husbands and wives and houses. He's looking more for someone in this hour who's looking for him. He wants someone, glory to God, he can pour his glory and power into someone, glory to God, who will empty themselves of their desires, glory to God, and be filled with kingdom desires. Because this scripture is talking about kingdom business, kingdom demonstration, kingdom power, dunamis and exousia of power. This is what God wants to show forth in his people, and that we as a body of Christ would turn around, glory to God, from what's popular, and step back into him, glory to God, so that he can show through demonstration that he's still on earth and he's still moving, glory to God, by his power and by, glory to God, hallelujah, by his spirit. But God is not slack concerning this problem. One thing you talked about, glory to God, that really touched my heart is how people would judge a thing. And the Bible even tells us don't judge a thing before time. Amen. Glory to God. So sometimes we judging a thing before it's time, because if you look at Joseph, his father, he put this coat on him. Glory to God. And see, that stuff man can apply to you. But God wanted to dress him in some different garments. Glory to God. And it didn't have the promotion didn't have nothing to do with man, but it had everything to do with him. So that he can show forth his glory. But God, I said this to the people on Friday night, even as I ministered, God always show us the promise. When he give us a vision, he say, go do this. He always show us the outcome of a thing, but he never shows us the process of the hell we got to go through to get to the thing, you see. And so, amen, glory to God. If God would show some of us some of the hell we would have to go through, all the crosses we would have to bear, some of us would despise the process and probably draw back. But that's why I believe God doesn't show us everything. He just shows us a partiality of a thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's well worth it in the end how God blesses us with the kingdom benefits that he has in store for us. And one thing about God, slack concerning his promises to his people. I'm gonna be quiet because I can keep going, but I'm gonna let you just go ahead and come on back in there. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You blessing me, I'm telling you. Amen. Thinking again, for some reason it just keeps setting out in my spirit that somebody think God is punishing them. That they think that, you know, God doesn't love them, that God has left them, that, you know, that it's over for them because of the process. Because in the process, we don't know what the blind man's journey was.
Absolutely.
From the time he was born all the way up until the time Jesus walked past him, saw him, and opened his blinded eyes. We don't even know what his process was. We don't know what he went through as a child. We don't know if he was rejected. We don't know if he was abandoned. We don't know if people talked about him, mocked him, cursed him, you know, pushed him around. All it talks about is that he was, the neighbors, the Bible says the neighbors saw him and said, that's the man that used to sit and beg.
Mm-hmm.
That's the man. That's how they identified him. And I believe this is the season and time that God is about to restore the identity of his people back unto him, because the enemy has identified you totally wrong. He's identified you by your situation and your circumstances, and it's has identified them by their situations and their circumstances. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord has said that is not your identity. What you are going through is not your identity. Whether you're broke, whether you're homeless, whether you're sick, whatever you're fighting with, that is not your identity. They will not know you by the man or woman of God that was thrown in jail, that was sick, on drugs. That's no longer your identity. God said, I'm restoring the identity of my people, because immediately the neighbors looked at him and said, when they know that they can't be him. Oh, is that him? That looked like the man that used to beg. They used to sit and beg. That's how they identify him. He used to sit and beg. But I tell you, God walked right up. The man didn't even ask for deliverance. It was the disciples that began to ask about his deliverance. They began to ask about his process. I'm going to put it like that. They began to ask about his process. And Jesus began to just tell them, no. Neither, he kept it real with him. He got it straight. Hold on. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. So let's go ahead and get this straight, because people are putting their mouth on people, and they're putting their mouth on people's situations, and they're trying to say, oh, they walking in sin. The reason that she going through this is because she in sin. Or they walk, you know, and all the time that person is in a process that you just don't understand. And it's all the time. It's not for the other person to understand, but I believe it's the time to pray. Even when you see them suffering, it's time to pray. Even as Job went through his process, those same his friends, the Bible says they were his friends that came and sat with him and did not understand his process. So because they didn't understand his process, they began to put their mouth on him, began to put their mouth on what God was doing in him and for him. And because of that, at the end of the chapter, it was Job's prayer that was the only prayer that God was going to hear concerning those friends. And I believe that even now, that those that are putting their mouth on things and situations that they have no business or no clue of what God is doing in that person's life, that God is going, the only prayer they're going to hear is the one from the person that they put their mouth on. It's going to be them that God hears their prayer. The Bible says Job prayed for them. God told him, you're going to have to pray for them because I don't hear them. I'm going to turn a deaf ear to them. Your prayer is the only prayer that's going to release me from punishing them. from putting their mouth on something that they have no clue of what I'm doing, because I'm God. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Elohim. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God that's more than enough. I'm Emmanuel. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the author and the beginning of your life, of your faith, of who you are, the author and the finisher. He's all of that. And yet they had no clue of who he was and what he was doing. And I believe because there's such a lack of knowledge in the kingdom of God, and I have to say it, I mean, there's such a lack of knowledge. The Bible says, Paul talked about knowing Christ. Paul talked about knowing Christ in the fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes we can just get saved and not know him. We can think we know him. Even Job admitted, I thought I knew you. The Bible says he was an upright man. He worshiped the Lord. He repented on behalf of his kids. He worshiped God for his kids. This man had everything he could have. But at the end of the day, he said, I thought I knew him. He talked about how he thought he knew God. He said, but now I know him. And then here it is, Paul talks about how he know God in the fellowship of his suffering. And I was, me and someone was sharing the other day, and they was talking about how they were going through, and how this person that's a friend of theirs, a dear friend of theirs, was also someone that was being used to buffet them, to cause them to feel so uncomfortable that they were, you know, really just ready to walk away. But at the same time, they turn around and say, but their life with God is growing, you know. But I had to explain to them, listen, they're not where you're at. Your fellowship with Christ is different from where theirs is, because, you know, they just came in, and they're a little new, but it's okay. Be a little patient. Because, see, you got to know Christ in the fellowship of your suffering. In the midst of your suffering, you and God was having a conversation going on. And, see, that's what was going on with him and Job. They begin to talk. See, God, Job began to hear God more clearer. They begin, his discernment and his ear gaze and eye gaze begin to get keener, sharper. And I believe even now, whoever is going through and whatever you're going through, it's just you and Christ right now. You've already turned a deaf ear to those that's talking, because you know they're talking foolish, like Job's wife was. She was talking foolish. She spoke some foolishness. But Job said, now, in spite of, well, woman, you crazy. You a fool. I never cursed God. She told, curse God and just curse him and die, because she didn't understand the process. But that's where the place where Job really got to know him. He said, I thought I knew you. He said, I thought I knew you. But I really didn't. Though he had all the money, though he lived lavish, though he worshiped, though he paid his tithes, though he repented, the Bible said he was upright, but he still didn't know him like he thought, like he got a chance to know him. He got a chance to know God. He began to fellowship with God. He began to die to the things of himself. You know what I'm saying? Job, if you ask me, he had a little pride. He had a little pride. The Bible says he's upright. You know, he knew he had things together, him and God. Things were lined up, him and Christ. You know what I'm saying? He worshiped. He prayed. He made sure, you know, he had servants. He had money. He had he even repented on behalf of his children. He made sure that everything, him and Christ, was tight. But yet he still didn't know him. And I believe this place that you're in, whoever it is, the place of where you feel like it's over, that you're suffering and God is about to kill you, and I tell you, this pressure that is about to produce some oil in you. It's about to produce a mantle in the midst of your process. You are about to know Christ, because God is already turning you from those that's talking crazy, that's talking foolish about your process. You've already turned the deaf ear to them. So now your ear is the only ear, the only voice you're going to hear and listen for is God, because you need to know what's going on. What's going on, God? What's this about? What you about to do? And it's something about when I used to go through, and still do, my prayer is, God, if you could just tell me what's going on, I can go through a little easier. If you just let me know this is you, not just me, I can handle it a little better. Long as I know it ain't the devil. Long as I know it ain't the enemy that got hold of me. But as long as I know that I'm in your hands and it's you, I can go through a little easier. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You still with me, Tina?
I'm still
Glory
with
you, God. Glory be to God. And before she starts speaking, I just want the listeners to know, anybody at any given time, feel free to press the one button. Feel free to press the one button if you want to talk, if you have. And also, we are opening the lines for prayer. We are done at 8:30, so we are opening the lines for prayer. And if the Lord give us a prophetic word, we will give it to you. We're not holding back on tonight. We're allowing God to have his way. But we only have, I think, another 20 minutes left on the line. Amen. Go right ahead, prophetess.
Amen. Lord God, even as you was talking about Job, when God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? And a lot of times we don't want to be considered. We want to be where we want to be in God, and we want God to just give us all the gifts and the anointing and the platforms, but we don't want to be considered. And so even with that, as I heard you were talking about how his friends and the wife and everyone, and even with that, everyone started to talk about him, to backbite him, backstab him. And isn't it amazing how God would set us up in a process, but he never tells us that that's getting ready to happen, that folk getting ready to lie on you, folk getting ready to despise you, folk getting ready to reject you, folk getting ready to clown you. Glory to God. They're getting ready to do all the things, glory to God, they knew how to do to you, glory to God, before God changed your identity. Because we are no longer of this world, glory to God. We're just in it, glory to God. But we're no longer of this world. And even when I like to talk a lot about Joseph, because it reminds me myself so much of him, of how Joseph, he had such big dreams inside of him. But those big dreams had to be birthed out, not in the old kind of way, but a God kind of way. And so sometimes, Lord God, we don't understand God's kind of way of doing things. What may seem unrealistic to us seems logical to God. Because if I don't press you this way, I can't get the anointing out of you. I can't get fresh oil. I can't develop new wine. I can't, glory to God, see myself, glory to God, in a reflection of you, glory to God. And so sometimes God has to press us. Glory to God, for the anointing. And sometimes we need fresh oil, because sometimes we can keep running off an expired season in our life, or that expired place. Glory to God, the man who sat at the pool, he was in that condition for 38 years. He began to complain at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walked up to him, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing. Why you ain't got up in the water and got healed yet? Why the water's being troubled? And so while the angels were stirring the water, he made every excuse to Jesus as to why he couldn't move. And Jesus began to ask the man, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And he still kept giving him an excuse. Every time I tried to get to know somebody, go ahead of me. So we got to stop with the excuses. We can't be both powerful and pitiful. We either one or the other. And so that's why when we're going through, we got to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We can't just keep coming and crying about a thing. We got to rise up in who we are as warriors in Christ, glory to God, and take authority, step in our God-given authority, and bind the adversary up in it, and be like Job. Nevertheless, yet though he slay me, I still got to trust you. I may not understand all of this that I'm going through, God, but I still yet got to trust you. Naked I came into the world, naked I'm about to leave.
Yeah.
And so Job began to take his mind, glory to God, off the stuff that was around him, because affliction was too great to be thinking about stuff and things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Glory to God. God. So can we still stand when God starts touching our stuff and our things? Is that all we really want from God? Do we want his glory? Do we want what's in his glory to God, not in his hand, but what's in his heart? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You look at Job, the devil went to tell God he's going to accuse him before God. Well, just lift that head and take, stop touching his stuff. That man, glory to God, is going to curse you. But nevertheless, even though Job was not without understanding, I'm sure he had some confusing thoughts and the feelings going on the inside of him that was unexplainable, but yet he wouldn't speak it with his mouth. And yet, because we feel a certain way, it doesn't always mean we need to speak what we're feeling. Because sometimes, glory to God, even as the word says, that our mouth, our tongue is the power of life and death is in our tongue. So we have to watch what we say and continue to speak kingdom-minded, even though we're feeling bad. Because if you look at the scripture, the last scripture, it said Job still talked right about God. Therefore, he had to pray for his friends. All them that was talking about him, the naysayers and the backbiters and the backstabbers and all those who would walk away from you and say who you're not and who you're not going to be, glory to God, you may end up having to pray for them. This is one thing I love about God, Prophet Tiffany, is that God is a God. Have you ever heard a teacher talk when the student's taking a test? And so sometimes God is in the teaching process of trying to get his student to the grade A or A plus. And so sometimes God would be silent when we're taking a test. And so, glory to God, you never heard a teacher in a classroom while a test is going forth or an examination is going forth that teacher would talk. That teacher is mostly walking around or observing what the students are doing, or he's sitting at the desk with his eyes glazed or glued in on who's actually doing the work, who's actually taking the test, who's actually, his mind is on the assignment that the teacher has given them. And so in the book of Isaiah, it says that God hides. And I believe God hides, glory to God, not to punish us, glory to God, but to have a deeper seek after him. Come on, somebody. And it's not that God has abandoned you, because sometimes, though we're going through, it will look like God has abandoned us in the struggle, but in actuality, he's right there. You heard Joseph, even when he was thrown into prison, he was yelling, God, why have you forsaken me? But in reality, God had not forsaken him. He was just finishing the process. And so we have to keep our mind on God and know that we are bought with a price, not with the price of man, but with the price of God. And with that price comes the anointing. Amen. Glory to God. And so God is just not going to invest the anointing in any old kind of vessel. God wants to build you up. So I'm going to say this last thing, and I'm gonna shut up. Glory to God. That one thing we have to understand as people of God, we cannot continue in unforgiveness. We cannot continue to be bitter, saints. You can't be bitter and build God's house. You can't keep holding a grudge, glory to God. Hallelujah. Think that God is going to invest in a tainted vessel. God wants us to be that church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, glory to God. So I said that to say this. Don't be caught up in the offense of your offenders, because sometimes, like you were talking about, them friends of Job's and being offended, and he could have got mad at them and he could have taken revenge or said something very out of order or out of disrespectful, or he could have set up unforgiveness and bitterness in his heart towards those that who were persecuting him, thinking that, glory to God, he was being punished, but in actuality he was being considered. There is a difference. We have to be careful that we don't make the mistake of repeating our offender's offense. Because sometimes, glory to God, we're judging things, and we need to just put that thing in God's hand and let God handle it. And so we'll sometimes be judged by that we're judging others by. So we have to be mindful and careful of how we judge others while they're going through the process of and the making of God. And I'm going to say this last thing. The attack just means that you're on the right track. And so God doesn't want you, he don't want us to step back, draw back, strike back. Just know you're on the right track. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so that's what God is trying to say to us. Anytime adversity comes, that just means you're on the verge, glory to God, of a breakthrough. It's not time to break down. It's time to break on through. This is your hour of breakthrough. And I feel like suddenly anointings are getting ready to happen. Suddenly breakthroughs are getting ready to happen. God getting ready to do something suddenly in somebody's situation. He getting ready to turn some things around. What was looking impossible, getting ready to be possible. Hallelujah. Where it looked like it wasn't no hope, is getting ready to be hope. Glory to God again. And so God says, glory to God, I come to remind my people of the promise. Stop focusing on your pain and always keep your mind and your eyes on the prize, which is the promise. And I'm going to shut up.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get this call. Could someone press the one button? I'm going to get this call. Amen. Amen. God bless you. How are you?
God bless you. I'm good. How are you?
Amen. Can we have your name?
My name is Bethany Banks.
Hey, Bethany Banks. How you doing? God bless you.
I'm good. I'm good. I was just listening to the show and just wanted to say how much I am enjoying it and how much of a help it is for me right now. And I also wanted prayer. But just the nuggets and the wisdom that's going forth in this show tonight, well, I don't even want to say show, but this divine appointment, because I'm in a process and I'm learning. One of the things I asked God, told God Sunday, help me not to take the process personal and not to see people, but to see the purpose of the process. So I just want to encourage you ladies and say thank you for just speaking kingdom tonight and speaking God revelation, and ask for you ladies to pray for me as well.
Amen.
Amen.
I hear God saying unto you, if I may pop this chip, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
God bless you. I hear God saying to you this day, my sister, that God is, he's saying that I'm giving you wisdom and I'm giving you strength. I'm giving you strength for the battle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God has stripped you of some things because he's rebuilding you in some things, glory to God, concerning kingdom business. This is your time, glory to God, to come from the back and come forward to the front. And even in the process of your making, I hear the word of the Lord was saying to you that I'm healing some wounds. Glory to God. I'm healing some things, glory to God, that kind of hit you kind of hard. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God, thinking that strange that God had to move some things and move some people, glory to God, from around you, glory to God, because you're in a place where I keep hearing get ready, get set, go. Amen. This is a season where God is going to, glory to God, bring you from the back, glory to God, and cause you to come forward to the front. For God says, surely he has his hands upon you, and he has his hands upon your life. Glory to God. And I even see you testifying, hallelujah, about some things that you went through, glory to God, that most people, hallelujah, would have threw in the towel with, glory to God, or even maybe committed suicide with. But I hear the word of the Lord says, stay steadfast, daughter. Be unmovable, unshakable, glory to God, and don't despise my process. For the king in you shall stand up and stand out in this hour. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For many, glory to God, that said it wasn't going to be, God said it is going to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is saying, I'm stretching you and I'm pulling you, glory to God, to show
forth my resurrection power through you in this hour. So stay on the wall and stay in prayer. Glory to God. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen, amen. And I just want to say this before we say a prayer, that those that's listening to the show, we are going to, so if you get a prophetic word or if you receive prayer, we are going, the show is live. So I am going to put the link on social network. I'll put it on Facebook where you can go back and push play because it's automatically being recorded. So you go back and push play. If you did not get your word, if you did not hear it, you know, clearly, you can always go back and push play and listen to it again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Bethany Banks, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in her life. Father, we thank you, Father, for her household, God. We thank you for the process, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, you said in your word to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Father, understanding that you're working patience in us, Father. Father, letting patience have our perfect work so that, God, we may be whole entirely, lacking nothing. And I hear the Lord saying, this is not your season to lack. You will not lack a thing, says God. He said, I've called you to have plenty and to have much. He said, I've even given you wealth in your hands. He said, even in the making of your hands, not just with doing hair, but he said, there's other creativity that's in you that's about to come forth, says God. He said, even in this process, yes, I am birthing out a new thing in you, and it shall spring forth. And so, God, I cover her now in the blood of Jesus, Father. I cover her household, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, Father, we release angels now, God, warring angels, God, and ministering angels, God, that will war on our behalf, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I even shoot arrows of deliverance, Father, to her residence even now, God, and arrows of victory, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, stir up, Father, in our most holy faith, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, you've taught our hands to war and our fingers to fight. So, Father, I decree and declare right now in the name of Jesus that the warrior shall arise, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, God, she shall war like never before, God. Father, give her new tongues, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father, I thank you even now for the new man and the new weight of glory, God, that's upon her even now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Bless our household, Father. Bless our husband, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I decree and declare that there'll be not another restless night, but a night of sweet peace and rest in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we bind, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, the spirit of backlash, backdraft, bitterness, and retaliation of the enemy even now, in the name of Jesus, God. And, Father, we pull daggers out of our back, Father, even now. And I speak healing to, Father, every dagger that was thrown, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I even, Father, pray, Father, that you place a love in her like never before, Father, for those that have betrayed her, Father, those that put their mouth on her, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. And, Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in her life and what you're doing for her even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, okay, God, to God be the glory. Y'all, this was a blessed show. I thank God for Prophetess Tina. I thank God for Bethany for stepping forth and for, sometimes I just have to say this, and this has nothing to do with Bethany Banks, but it has all to do with us coming together, walking in unity, not going and hiding in caves, going through individually as one, afraid to tell each other what the other one is going through. But when you find out that when you release what your problem is, you'll find out that somebody else has the same problem, if not one similar, and then you go in and it makes your going through a little easier and a little lighter once you are united. But the biggest lie and weapon of the enemy is to separate and divide and cause us to hide, you know, cause us to run in caves and not talk or not discuss, because he knows you know, even in that place. But, you know, in some caves are good. Don't get me wrong. The Lord still speaks. But at the same time, where there's unity, there is strength. So I thank God, and I commend this woman of God. She came on as Bethany Bank, but she's Minister Bethany Bank. She's Providence Bethany Bank. She didn't come on with a title. She came on with a servant heart. And I'm saying this to say because those that are listening, you don't have to hide. You don't have to be ashamed of what you're going through. At the end of the day, if you confess it, God said to Job, he gave Job double for everything that he went through. Double. And he speaks it also in Isaiah 61, I'll give you double for your shame. And then he also talks about it in the book of John. He said, abide in me and I abide in you, and you can ask what you will. When I looked up the word abide, it said put up with. God has said put up with me and I'll put up with you, and you can ask what you will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I thank God for you,
Prophetess Tiffany. That I thank God for the because even when I thank God for the process when I was in the cave, because I thank God for people like you that while I was going through that process of hiding in that cave, you were part of that pulling me out. And so when you started talking about unity and getting together and us uplifting one another and pulling someone out, nobody had know that, but God told me to share it, because that was a time I didn't even know how to come out of the cave. I had been in there so long and got comfortable just being in the cave and laying back and letting everything begin to lay dormant in me, because I was despising the process. And yet I'm being tried all over again. So I'm saying that to say this, is that we don't want to get so caught up in the cave that we have to repeat some things. Glory to God, just because we think we're hiding from the process is still waiting on us when we do decide to come out of that cave. Amen, glory to God. Just like, it's like the more I'm coming out, I'm back out of forth in God. Amen, glory to God. The demon, I heard God say it, the Holy Spirit told me earlier, he said, this demon of distraction you need to bind up. Because every time I'm getting ready to go forth and do a work for God, there is always somebody close to me. If not my children or family members, somebody close to me, always trying to bring a major attack. And these ain't people on the outside. Sometimes these people right inside.
Yes,
that can be a distraction to the destiny that God has given us. And so even tonight, even this morning, when I got up to pray and get myself ready for the show, the demon of distraction began to use someone close to me. Glory to God. And the only thing I could think of was to go in warfare and begin to pray and say, devil, you ain't backing me back up in no cave. I'm coming forth, glory to God, to be reinstated and reunited with God, to do the will of God. Amen. And so that's why we need people around us that can hold our arms up, somebody that can uplift us, glory to God, where we're weak. You can help them be strengthened through their process of going through God's process. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're out of time, you all. This was a great show. I thank God for showing up. Thank God for all of you all coming on, calling in, just listening, attending your ear to the voice of the Lord and the word of God. Continue to pray for us. I thank God for Dennis and his absence. We're going to be back on next week, next Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Share this show and share this word with someone. We're going to put the link on Facebook, but if you need to go back and listen to it again and again and again or whatever, or share it with someone on their page, do so. We don't know who needs this word. We don't know who likes it or saved. But I'm going to say this, you know, share it. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about pulling people out, like she said. It's about saving a life. And so we're just servants unto God, just here to serve and do a work for the master. And so also know that your process, it's not a punishment. Amen. God is not punishing you. I thank God for Prophetess Tina. Thank you for being a guest on the show today. Thanks for allowing the Lord to use you. I want to say a prayer. We're going to close out. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Father, for coming on and having your way on tonight, Father. I thank you, God, for for your word. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing, your glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, bless every household that's listening on tonight and those that didn't get a chance but had a desire, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, God, do a new thing. God, continue to bless us and keep us throughout the night, throughout the day. I speak sweet peace and sweet rest in our lives and in our homes right now in the name of Jesus, God. And it is so. Have a good night and a good week. Amen.
Yeah.